about Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection.
Okay, good morning. How are we doing today? My name is Marvin Lucas. I'm from the Dallas Church. Originally from, I was born in Norwich, England. I'm a Norfolk boy. Oh, ah. Yeah, you like that one, didn't you? I actually spent 7 years in North London in Archway. Any North Londoners out there? And when I was, I spent 22 years of my life in England. And then my dad's actually an African American, and my mother's English. She's from Norwich. She's pretty much spent her whole life there, so for a few years. She's a typical Norfolk girl. She doesn't really get out that much. I think in her whole life she's gone on 3 plane rides. In her whole life. And the third one, I think, was the last one. Now, she actually visited my sister, but she didn't tell me. I'm going to confront her this afternoon. I'm actually going to Norwich after lunch, so I haven't been there in a couple of years. And it's just great to be here. It's great to be in London. I visit London often. I've spoken at different sectors here in the London church. And I visit, because obviously my parents are here. My wife is American. She'll be up here shortly sharing about, just about her life. We have 2 kids, 8 and 11, Holland and Segovia. They were born in America. So it's kind of interesting. I'm complex sometimes because I don't really... It's so funny. I go to America, they say I have an English accent. And I come to England, they say I have an American accent. So I'm kind of... So what am I, you know? But, did it come up? Okay. I have a question for you this morning. What is God's will for you in your life? A lot of times when me and my wife have been going through some life changes, I'll share about that in a little while, but over the last several months I've asked myself, certain questions, and maybe you ask yourself these questions too. You know, why am I here? Even like service on a Sunday morning, you ask yourself, why am I here? Is it because something that I do? Is it because of social reasons I'm here? Because this is where all my friends are, and I don't have many friends? You know, am I really here to edify my faith? I don't know if you ever ask yourself this. Is this it? Is this it? Is this the lot for my life? Do I go to work, get my kids to school, eat, shower, go to church, and if I have time, I play the Xbox or whatever. And it just goes on day in, day out, day in, day out. And when you look in your foreseeable future, you just say to yourself, is this it? Has anybody ever asked yourself that? Or am I just talking to myself? Have you ever asked this? Could I be doing more? A lot of times we can ask ourselves, am I really effective? Am I really making a difference in people's lives? A lot of times as we get older in the church, I've been around the church about 20 years, a lot of times we can look at ourselves and say, well, I'm not really changing or growing. And you ask yourself this, where is God's power in my life? And ultimately, we've got to ask ourselves this question, what is His will for my life? And I'm 45 years old. I'll be 45 in September 11th. That's always an interesting birthday, especially in America. They're like, oh, really? Oh, you poor soul. But just recently, I've been going through some life changes. I'm 45, and I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or whatever. I don't know if I'm gonna live to 90, but I don't know. I've been in the Dallas church for 8 years. God's really blessed that we moved there 8 years ago, and we took over ministry that was, I would say, struggling. And God has really blessed it. Even though this year we've seen God do things, we've seen more growth in the last year than we saw last promise, probably last 2 years. God's been doing great things. And also we've had a lot of success. God has blessed us, and, you know, we have a lot of comfort in our lives. We have a nice home. We have two cars. We live the American life, the suburban life. Our kids, you know, go to Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know if you know what that is. If somebody's saying, yeah, what's Chuck E. Cheese? It's not a hamburger. It's a place where you go and your kids have fun. It's just around the corner. Everything's that we have a water park. We have a Six Flags. I mean, amusement park. Actually, we only live like 5 miles from that new Dallas Cowboys arena thing. It's $1 billion. I mean, it's massive. I think you can see it from space. You can see it from London if you go up on the eye. You can see it. Just recently we got out of debt. I'm really fired up about that. Thank you, Jesus. I know Paul's fired up. He's like, get out of debt. Paul's a standing ovation back there by Paul. So you can give more. That's what he said. They're not going to have his back, I can tell. We got a lot of friends. Actually, we just had a going away party. It's funny, we have a going away party, but we don't know where we're going. That's true. But we had 26 of our friends out. We had them share at our going away party. That was very special. And our lives is very predictable. So on the outside, you say, you know, we literally could stay in Dallas for the next 15, 20 years if we wanted to. But on the inside, I was feeling kind of stuck. You ever feel stuck spiritually? All right, good. I'm glad somebody else feels the way I do. Kind of limited. Not excited about the future. I'm happy. But sometimes happy isn't good enough. Being content is not good enough. I'm spiritually frustrated. That's an understatement, isn't it, honey? My wife would see me get so, there must be more to this. You know, and one of the things I'm really, really scared of is mediocrity. I don't want to live a life of no impact. Can I get an amen to that? It's so funny, even though we've had a lot of friends, one of the things that we haven't really done in the last few years is convert our friends. Even our neighbors. We have tried cookies and we try to bribe them. What else are we giving them? Cards, meals, you know, passes to the underground, just get to church. No, I'm not saying that. But if you say why, we've tried and tried and tried and nothing's happened, and it's just like, God, what are you trying to do? And it's so funny, my friends, we had several friends share, they're great friends. I even had one friend in tears that we were leaving. But when it comes to really spiritual things, some people want relationships, but they don't want spirituality. Can you relate? But in my life overall, I did not see the power of God. And I was so stuck. Back in February, I had a meeting with the elders and evangelists, and I just said, look, I've got to change some things. I know on the outside things are looking real well, but on the inside, I've got to do some radical things for my faith and for my spiritual sanity. And the funny thing about it is, what I look at, I felt I was in a crossroads. I spent 22 years away from England, and in some ways, it's kind of ironic, even though I was converted over in America, I'm English. God save the Queen. And I was rooting for England in the World Cup. I just wanted to tell you that. Didn't do well. I heard it. You let me down over here. But it's funny, being in the ministry almost 20 years, that has been my foreign missions. You see what I'm saying? That I was helping Americans to be saved. But when my hometown in Norwich, there is no church. And that's constantly been on my heart for years. One of my life goals, and this is the reason why we're here this weekend, is to really see if it's God's will for us to go back to Norwich and to plant a church there. My parents are in their late 60s. I lost my grandmother just a few years ago. And that was actually probably the first time I've ever seen all my family in church. It's kind of surreal when you look out and see all your family, and the only reason why they're there is because of funeral. The age of our kids are 8 and 11. You know, when I look at my age, my energy, probably I'm kind of peaking right now. So a lot of times you get more experience, but your energy level kind of goes down. And they kind of cross. I think they're kind of crossing right now. One will go up and one will go down. And it takes a lot of energy to plant something new. I got 2 theological degrees. I'm an evangelist. Thank you, Jesus. And a lot of times what I have to ask myself, when is it time to give back? Because God has given me so much. And as far as I know, I don't know any other evangelist from Norwich. What good can come from Norwich? I know, I got that. And ultimately the guilt. Knowing when, how, you know. And one of the great things about just recently, because I went to school in Norwich, did all my high school there, middle school, a little bit of first school there. And it's great, over the years, I've reconnected with a lot of my friends that I hadn't seen in 20 years. And they've reconnected with me. So I not only have all my family there, but I also have a lot of school friends and people that I used to work with and so on and so forth. So I think a lot of times when you look at this, you've got to ask yourself, what does God want me to do? But also what is really kind of pulling us right now, we also have opportunities in the U.S. and we ask ourselves, God, what do you want us to do? Sometimes I wish there was no opportunity and it's God saying, do this. But sometimes that's not that easy. Can I get an amen to that? The question is, how can we find God's will? That's a good question, ain't it? We could do this. Then there's an example of Christians who use the open window method to seeking God's will. You put your Bible by the window, and whoo! The pages blow open, and you put your finger on a verse. One man did this, and pointed to the verse that Judas went out and hanged himself. Not a very good life verse. And then he did it again. This time his finger pointed on the verse and go and do likewise. And the third verse he found said, what are you about to do? Do it quickly. I want to advise you to use this method of finding God's will. I'm not advocating this. Mike and Julie did not know I put this up here. I just said it was going to be fine. Turn over to Romans 12. Phew. Romans 12. We'll look at a scripture that we've read millions of times. Actually, my wife's going to come up and share in a little bit. It does get better. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is. What is the lesson about today? God's will. Let's try that one more time. What is it about?
God's will.
He's so nice. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants us to fulfill the will that He has for us in our lives. And a lot of times what happens is we can struggle. You've got to realize that 20 years of my life, I've been struggling about what do you want me to do? I know God has given me certain gifts and abilities, but when, how, who, so on and so forth. Anybody else wrestle with that? You guys are good. I'll bet in the other London group I preach to. Just wanted to tell you that. I'm not going to mention the group. They're getting attitude. Then you will be able to what? Know what God's will. So there is a process. Got to understand that. In Romans 12, it talks about a process. Let's examine that a little bit. Very sensitive, this thing. If we are going to find out what God's will is, we have got to ultimately want to please God. And do what is best spiritually. See, honestly, if I made this decision out of my flesh, considering the comfortability and our lives all set up in America, I would not make this decision. I've got to make the decision based on spirituality. Because a lot of you guys have gone over to the States and said, it's nice over here. I have dual citizenship, and I chose the American side. And that's what I chose in my flesh. I went over there as a non-Christian. I actually went over there with only 5 pounds in my pocket. And I stayed. It says, in view of God's mercy, you've got to understand God's mercy in your life. You've got to understand that I grew up with no church. I grew up with no Bible in my house. I actually, when the first time I went to church, is to take my girlfriend out of it. True story. Ain't that right, honey? There's my girlfriend, now my wife. There you go. Thank you, honey. Yeah, God won. His will prevailed. But I got to remember where I come from. It's a miracle for me to be a preacher considering my whole history. Being a pagan. Being, you know, drinking and stuff like that. In this passage it says, offer yourself. It doesn't say we need to voluntarily offer ourselves. You don't need to be forced or coerced. Very important. If we are going to find out God's will, we've got to offer ourselves. You are never going to find God's will if you need to be forced to do things. Some of us will only do something if we are told.
Well, they didn't tell me anything.
Well, you saw the guy hurting.
Well, nobody said.
Not falling for the tracks and patterns of this world. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. How are you living? Is there any difference between your life and your co-worker? Except for you come to church on Sunday, is that it? And you come to church on Friday, is that really it? Is that the difference? Is that the only pattern you have that is different from the worldly people? Is your spending habits the same as worldly people? The things you listen to, watch on TV, what you listen to on the radio, what you have on your iPod is exactly the same as the world? How can we truly find God's will if we're still conforming to the patterns of the world? Things that make you go, And so you got to test and approve what God's will is. You know how much work that takes to test and approve something? I don't know if you're an engineer. Any engineers here? How many times do you have to test and approve something before you put it out on the market? Countless times. If you do not test and approve what you believe, you will never have a conviction. I believe some of us do not share our faith because we don't have a conviction. Because it would be instinct. It wouldn't be, well, you need to go out and share your faith. No, this has been tested and approved. I've lived this. And this is true. This is right. And you need to repent. But if you're living on somebody else's convictions, it's what you do, it's not who you are. And if it's what we do, we have to be told over and over again to do something that, quite frankly, if you really lived it out, you won't have to be told. Because you're tested and approved. I think if you're going to be a person that lives in God's will, you got to let go and let God. You got to live in God's power and understand God's power. If God can speak the world into creation, He can sort out my life. Think about that. Think about that. Why do I need to take control of anything if God has that power? Now, if God opens up doors, I'm going to run through it. But I'm not going to force that door. See, some of us have made some poor choices in our lives because we forced the door. Because of our own selfishness. Because of our own materialism. Because we did it for the job, not because of spirituality. We did it because of the kids, not because of spirituality. Honestly, we wouldn't even be considering this move if it was the kids. My kids can't even stand English food. The ketchup. And all right, honey. Live a transformed life. It should be obvious. Your life should be obvious. They shouldn't have to guess. I think sin becomes us, but also righteousness becomes us. You know, we have a very active gay movement in America. And it doesn't take too long to say, yeah, he's that way. Because they live a life of sin. If you live a life of righteousness, guess what they should say? Uh-huh. He's been with Jesus. We shouldn't be these undercover, in the closet kind of Christians. People should know. I'm a Christian too. Oh, I never knew. I've known you for 5 years. You really are? Really? I should know. You've got to have a renewed mind. In this passage, it talks about having a renewed mind. A pure mind. A mind of righteousness. Getting back to what was said at communion about your thoughts. Many want His will without the sacrifice. Because in this passage it tells what we need to be as far as the sacrifice. What do we need to be? Live in sacrifice. Good job, hon. Thank you for paying attention. My wife listens to me. Let's read verse 1. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as what? Well, you guys, I like participation, not spectating. Participation. Let me read it one more time. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as what? Exactly. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, you need to be living. That was profound.
Yeah, this guy came all the way from Dallas and he said it to be a living sacrifice that was living.
Pray for me. MARVINLUCA.
You gotta be living, you gotta be alive. There gotta be some energy to you. A living sacrifice, active, alert, vibrant, passionate, joyful, zealous.
I'm a Christian. Come to my church and be bored like me.
If you're living sacrifice, you have character. Godly character. It's who you are. That's what you talked about. Character. During communion. You're sacrificial on every occasion because you're a living sacrifice. It breaks my heart that Paul has to get up here and tell us to sacrifice. If we're a living sacrifice, we do it anyway because that's who we are. Not what we do. If we need to be told to be sharing our faith, there's something wrong. If you've been around the church for 10, 15 years and you need to be asked to share your faith, there's something wrong. It should be who you are by now. Massive. Massive. There you go. Should be faithful. Should be righteous. If you understand, it always starts with righteousness. You are not going to see God's will in your life if you're not righteous. Don't expect, as I said, a lot of times we don't want to be a living sacrifice, but we want to know what God's will is. But God's will comes at the end of the passage here. After the living sacrifice, renewing your mind, transformation, patterns of the world. But sometimes we want to start at the end and say, what's God's will? But we don't want to do everything else. And that's the reason why some of us flounder in our spirituality. Because we have no character. If you're a living sacrifice, you're going to deny yourself every single day. If you're a sacrifice, you're dead. Let's read this scripture. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to read a scripture and then my wife's going to come on up. Let's turn over there. 2 Timothy 2:9. Hopefully this lesson translates into English. Second Timothy chapter 2 in verse 26. It says, I'm going to start halfway through this in verse 26. And that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do what? See, Satan has a will too. Satan has his will and God has his will. And a lot of times we've got to weigh up exactly what God wants us to do. I think a lot of times when we think about what we're trying to do, there's a lot of fear that can creep in. A lot of times we can look at, when I look at my life, and say, Marvin, you put in your resignation, but you don't have another job to go to. That's pretty intense. Also, if we are going to come to England, we've got to sell everything we have. Everything. Everything that we've accumulated literally in 20 years of marriage, we've got to sell. And the only things that we're coming over here with are suitcases. That is it. All the furniture, even the Wii and my computer don't even work here because of the socket. Tried that out this morning. It did something real weird, didn't it? I was scared. Right now, having my kids come to a different country is challenging. Even my little cat, Mr. Jinx. Little furball. I should have shown you a picture. He went, ah, it's so cuddly.
Even Mr. Jinx has to spend 6 months in quarantine because of rabies, the rabies law. Even Mr. Jinx is not immune from this move. But I'm going to have my wife come on up and share for a little bit. I pretty much went through all this. There you go. Just give it up for my wife.
Perfect timing, huh, ladies? Gotta take a potty break, and here we go. Well, love, I'm Cherise Lucas, and it is a pleasure and an honor to be here with my brothers and sisters here in the East London Church. I feel just very overwhelmed and very grateful to be here. I kind of was joking with some of the people that I was sharing with, because obviously I'm from America, so I've got the American accent. And it's so funny because my husband, of course, in America, he's always been the foreigner and the one with the accent. So I was joking with him saying, oh my, now I'm going to be the foreigner with the accent. So it was just kind of funny. But I want to thank Mike and Julie. I know they're not here, but we just had such a great time with them, hanging out, talking, sharing our hearts, getting in each other's lives, and just really being humble and vulnerable with each other and just talking about our hopes and dreams and desires and just really being in each other's lives. I'm sure you guys know you have amazing leaders in them. They're just all hearts. They really are, and their children are just a joy. And I really wanted to thank Tony and Margareta, too, just for having us in their home. It's so great to be with them and meeting their boys and their puppy doggies, and I appreciate your fine hospitality. Thank you so much. You know, in terms of my husband's lesson here, just what is God's will from a woman's perspective, a wife's perspective, a mom's perspective? Women, you know, we love to have things in order and in control, and we know what A, B, C, and D is next. And in this particular time, you know, my alphabet is a bit jumbled. And I really am just truly relying on the Lord and really waiting to see what does your hand say, God. And I feel very humbled by this position in my life spiritually. We're going on 20 years in the faith, and I'm grateful that God has given me enough faith to still say 20 years later, Lord, I will still go anywhere, do anything, give up everything for you. I grew up very poor. I grew up with a single mom. She was a teen when she had me. And I grew up with a really weird relationship towards money. And I was convinced that, oh, if I was rich, I'd be happy. And I grew up in a Spanish ghetto in Los Angeles and grew up in roach-infested homes. Not even homes. I never had a home. Apartments. My bedrooms were closets, you know. And to see where God has brought us in this time and place in our life, we say comfortable. It is an understatement. We are comfortable where we are living. You know, I wake up in my home and I just look around and think, I can't believe I live here. And I've been there 8 years. You know, I can't believe this is my life. I can't believe we're out of debt. I can't believe, you know, and all these things. And just the opportunity God has given us. And, you know, I remember even, I think, just getting out of debt took probably longer than it needed to because of my funky old heart. I remember that I would have this attitude of, well, I can't wait to finally get out of debt so I don't have to go on sale shopping anymore. I can buy whatever I want to buy and all this crazy old material stuff in my heart. And I think God deliberately just kept his finger on me. He's like, no, I ain't letting your behind out of debt. Oh, no, no, you have the wrong heart, you know. And I think through time, God really helped my heart because I saw the more that we got out of debt, the more that I joyfully and willingly wanted to give and give my little allowance to just benevolent things and not have to be asked, and found a lot of joy, you know, in giving. And the more and more we got out of debt, the more and more we gave, the more generous we were able to be. And so I think God was like, ah, now you got the ticket. And then he expedited our debt removal. I mean, it was just really quick after that. And then I can't help but to be humble to think, wow, did God also help expedite that debt removal primarily so that if it is his will for us to move here, that we could. So I'm just really in limbo right now. I think especially being an American woman, I'm an American woman. The idea of possibly moving and becoming, you know, a British citizen and really just supporting my husband and his hopes and desires and dreams for his family and his country. You know, I love him tremendously and dearly, and I support him fully. And he's an evangelist through and through. You probably sensed that in the little time that he spoke. He's an evangelist through and through. And as a woman, I want to be wherever my husband needs to be to do his ultimate best for the Lord. So if it takes, you know, giving up anything, you know, selling, whatever, to make sure my husband is doing great spiritually and we all get to heaven as a household, there is no price too big to pay. I mean, it's not going to do me a will of beans, you know, if he's not doing his best and he's leading our home. And my children need to look up to their father and see a man leading the home. So I joyfully follow, you know, my husband as he follows Christ. And if God truly puts this on our heart to do this, I'm here. I am absolutely here. I think about just, you know, even just being scared of mediocrity. Again, where we were, who in their right mind leaves the church that's growing, doing well, spiritually, financially, you know, just we're cozy and everything's convenient. Who in the world does that? On paper, it makes no sense for us to move. I mean, this is the job that we're leaving is like the dream job, ideal. I feel like I could be the PR person for it to help fill the position easily because it's amazing. But yet God still knocked on the doors of our heart and said, okay, it's time to go. Very clear. We looked at each other and God had made it very abundantly clear. It is time to go. And we're like, wow. Okay, God. And he didn't make it clear where, but it was very apparent we had to go. So that's where we are in our life. If you guys could just be praying for us that God would make it abundantly clear, where should we go? Our heart is just that we want to honor God. We want to see his name glorified. We want to see an abundance of people saved. We want the Christians and the saints to be strong and doing better than ever. We want to just be stretched and used for God and to grow. Because it's just not us going to, you know, give and train and so forth and so on. I know we're going to be stretched and grow a great deal. Amen. Ultimately, we want to go wherever our children are going to become Christians, whether that's stateside or here in England. That's important to us. We want them to really see the whole full picture of discipleship. Sure, they have watched us walk in the Lord, been sacrificial, you know, make disciples, be hospitable. They've seen all these things. They've not seen us sell everything and leave. That is another part of discipleship that is very important. And Lord willing, if they become disciples, we want them to be able to know exactly what it is. And amen, are you ready to do it? So that's our heart. Thanks so much for having us. Please keep us in your prayers.
Amen. Ain't she wonderful? I like comparison lists. I think you have the living dead and the living sacrifice. And if you don't know which one you're in, I'm going to help you. I think I'll just put them down because they're kind of offsetting. Pretty much repeating what I just said. Then you got to say, which side am I on? Because really, when it comes to comfortability, it's really fear that drives that. It's fear of the unknown, fear of changing, fear of putting trust in God, in the patterns of the world. The Holy Spirit is organic. It's spontaneous. A lot of us don't like to do anything spontaneously. Everything has to be calculated. Everything has to be in order before I make a decision. That's not the Holy Spirit. Fear and faith. What I do. Are you asked to do everything? Well, I wasn't asked, so I'm not going to do it. That is garbage. We should be cognizant of what is around us. We should be spiritually aware and in tune with when people are hurting and when people are in the need. You shouldn't be asked. The Holy Spirit should tell us what to say and when to say it and also when to do it. You know, you have apathetic here and opportunists. Well, I think and meditate on Christ. Quiet. A lot of times, well, he's going off the quiet times. So the question is, are you transformed? You keep on just reading, and just because you want to be a legalist and say, well, I have my quiet time. I came to church. But are you growing? Are you changing? And I just got to a point where, you know what? I got to do something. And we decided to do something. A big something. A lot of times we can please others, but we're not pleasing and seeking out God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We are hardwired for faith. Should I get my notes right? There you go. If you have time, read Ephesians 1, chapter 1, 3 through 11, okay? Read that in your spare time. I know you have a lot. Just read it. But in verse 5 it says, we are chosen before creation to do His will. So, listen to me. You were predestined since the beginning of creation to fulfill God's will in your life. How does it make you feel? I don't know, but it makes me feel special. You've been purposed in Christ to do His will. You've been predestined in verse 11 to do His will, similar to verse 5. God has a unique plan for you. In Romans 12:6, it's great about this passage. If you ever read it in its entirety, it's really cool. Because it starts off, it says, therefore, and really that therefore is the first 11 chapters. Paul is setting up his exhortation. He's saying, look, I've just written 11 chapters, and he starts off in 12:1 and says, therefore. Because of all this, therefore. And then he goes in, he starts off, this is what you need to do. You need to be a living sacrifice, not be conformed, be renewal of your mind and transformed. And then he goes right in and he goes, have a sober estimate of your faith. Live within your faith. If you have a little, live in a little. Don't live on other people's faith. Massive. Then he goes into gifts. He says, each of us have gifts in verse 6. So each of us has gifts. But you will never get in tune with your gifts unless you're a living sacrifice. See, some of us say, well, I'm gifted, but if you're not righteous and a living sacrifice, that will never really reach its true potential. You've got to understand you're unique. Your resources, your wealth, your education, your time, and your love. If you're going to understand God's will, you've got to understand, what are my gifts? But it all starts with living sacrifice. You can't get ahead of yourself. See, a lot of times people want to go out and do great things, but guess what? They end up imploding because they're not a living sacrifice. How about your influence? For me, Norwich. I was born there. I went to school there. My family is there. It's kind of obvious. My influence. God, I was born in Norwich for a reason. You were born where you were born for a reason. You live where you live for a reason. God has put you there. Now you've got to ask yourself, how can I use this to glorify God? Then I can fulfill His will. Where can I have the greatest impact? Can I have the greatest impact in the States? Can I have the greatest impact in England? I've got to wrestle with prayer in that. I've also got to consider my life situation. I'm not single anymore. It's not just me and my wife. Does anybody know where Belize is? Whereabouts? It's the only English-speaking country in South America. Colonized by good old King. King whatever or Queen whatever. But it's funny, I asked my wife when we went through this and we were wrestling, where do you want to go? I said, hon, actually, Belize is the poorest country in South America. And me being this warrior in the faith, I'm like, hon, let's go to Belize. Because we already went there once, we visited. It's really poor. I'm like, let's go to Belize. Well, I don't think I want to go there. But what's the point of forcing my wife to do something? Since I can't. Even though if my wife, my faith is here, my wife is here, I can't blow up my family because I'm married. Okay, England. All right. You good with England? I think so. Okay, great. Well, let's visit and see. If it's me, I'll be on the third world missions. I'll be sleeping in hammocks and grass huts and mud huts and all that. But my family's not ready for that. Maybe one day she will. Maybe one day. Maybe after Norwich we'll go to a mud hut. But you got dreams and aspirations. What's going to stretch my faith? I want to hear them final words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Well, he did okay. He lived a good life." I want to do something great. A lot of times it's timing. Is it right time right now? Regardless if we plant Norwich now or later, it's going to be planted. And if we do decide to come, we'd probably be spending a few months amongst you guys. So I was talking to Mike and Julie, and they're like, "Well, you know what? Let's see if we can put a little mission team together. Let's see what we can do in the London church here. We know we've got some people who live in Norwich and used to live around there. Let's see what we can do." So we come back, we're going to spend time in this ministry right here. And you thought you were going to get rid of us. We're back. Hi. Ooh. A lot of times when we fulfill God's will, it builds character. Got to build spiritual character. Obviously the Holy Spirit has something to do with this. And I want to leave you with this passage. It says, "May God, the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good for doing what? And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." And the church says,
"Amen."
Brothers and sisters, we are equipped to do everything good in His will. We are equipped. We have been predestined since the beginning of time to fulfill His will in Christ. Hopefully today it's inspired you. Hopefully pray for us. As I said, in the next couple of weeks we need to make a decision. We could actually be back here as soon as August. We're not messing around. We're not messing around. You know, it's not like, "Well, maybe in 5 years." No. Maybe in 5 days. So definitely keep us in your prayers. We need a lot of prayer. And pray that God will reveal His will for us in their life. Thank you very much. Amen.
Thank you, Marvin and Cherise. So, we didn't quite know what we were going to see this morning or hear. But thank you for sharing the message that you did. And prayerfully, our hearts have received that message in good faith. And prayerfully, we will examine ourselves. And prayerfully, just look at the scriptures, what they are. I've read this verse many times and said, "What is God's will? What is God's will?" I've never seen it broken down in such a way that practicalizes it for me. So it's no longer kind of vague and "Well, I just really don't know. Well, let me start by being a living sacrifice." You know what I mean? It kind of let me start with that and move on, and I can progress to where God wants me to be. Let me be eager and just really serve. Let me not wait to be asked. Okay, that's it. I can handle that. You know what I mean? I can handle the kind of breakdown and the practicality of just really getting to the point where it's clear for us. Now, the plan is that we all don't go to Norwich, amen? Let's go!
Come on! Come on!
Maybe God's will is for Marvin and Cherise to stay here. We don't know. Oh. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Let's certainly be keeping them in our prayers and certainly praying for Norwich and the rest of the UK. Amen. As we look for God's will in all these areas. So thank you very much. We're going to close in a prayer in a minute, but just to mention that Mike and Julie are actually today in the south part of the church.
Mike and Julie will be getting involved more in the South as we try and help the whole of the London churches just really grow and be unified together. So they're not here for a reason. They're in the South. They're preaching and spending time with the Christians in the South. Also, just finally, at 1:30, I believe, we will be carrying on our Good Enough Parenting. So Dan Critchlow will be taking us through the next stage. That'll be 1:30. I believe we'll be finishing about 3 o'clock. And then we can go home from there. So let's keep that and remember that. Let's go to God as we close in prayer. Almighty God in heaven, it's so great to see clearly things that you've written in your word. Father, we know that you're patient with us. You walk or move at the pace that we move, and you're very kind and gentle. And yet, Father, you also have high standards, God. And when you make it clear to us, Father, when you explain to us and show us clearly how we are to be, Father, you do expect us to respond. Father, I pray, God, that you will increase our faith and just help us to grow in a way that is pleasing to you. Father, help our faith be exciting. Help us to be dynamic as we help other people know you. Help us to understand sacrificial living. And Father, help us to embrace and hold on to the incredible example of your Son. We thank you, Father, we have these great opportunities. Father, we know that these things are the true source of joy. Father, I know the world and the things around us seem so attractive. And yet, Father, time and time again, we see the painful ending of such things. Father, we see the painful ending of chasing after wealth. We see the painful ending of chasing after sexual pleasures. We see the painful ending, God, of just pursuing worldly dreams. Father, please help us to not go down that path, God, but rather choose a path of faith, of growth, of glorifying you, Father. We do pray for Marvin and Cherise, God. We pray that you'll bless their plans, Father, their hearts as well. God, I pray you will just make it clear the path they are to take, O God. And Father, please help them by keeping them in our prayers. Father, we're very grateful for Diana Critchlow, God, who will be doing a lesson this afternoon. Please help us to, again, appreciate the hard work and sacrifice of our sister. And also be with Mike and Julie as they preach and share in the South. We love you. We're very grateful. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. Please collect your children swiftly and enjoy a great time of fellowship.